This is Computers 97. Good morning, everybody. I'm Amnon Isan. Here with Larry Dial, where I'll be your host for the next 2 hours.
Good morning.
Good morning. And with us also is Paul Gilster.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning.
Paul is a writer in the News and Observer computer column. He writes the computer column at the News and Observer. And he's a freelance technology writer. Our number here at The Buzz is 860-0850. And this segment of the show is sponsored by Computer Renaissance. Buying, selling, and trading new and used computers. And by the new Computer Digest. Good morning again.
Yes, well, this is not TV. They can't see us, so hello there.
That's right. You got to say something.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
I like the new digs here, Amnon. This is pretty nice. Last time I was on, we were down at the old place.
Uh-huh.
This is upscale now. You've obviously gone upscale.
Big time.
Very, very nice.
And 2 hours.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Oh, it's terrific. This is our second week of 2 hours.
Second.
Our second terrific guest.
Yeah.
It's a real honor to have Paul here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. I'm glad to see you guys this morning. Real pleasure.
Let's see, how many of you got in front of a PC to turn them on, only to get a chilling error message that your computer crashed? Give us a call here at The Buzz at 860-0850 and tell us what you did or what happened or how you did it, how you fixed it, or what did it destroy that you could never recover.
This is getting very personal.
Yeah.
We can talk about this ourselves for hours.
This last week was one of those.
Nothing wrong with that, guys. We can do that, too. So if you turned it on and suddenly something happened, let us know. Somebody is having a problem, I guess. Somebody had that problem, you know?
No, many people do.
Yeah. Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz. No, here it is. You're on 850 The Buzz.
I called last week and had answered a question, or I called in the correct number of times for a piece of software, and then I had to go out of town.
Okay.
And I was wondering, could I come pick that up?
Absolutely. Just come to the station and pick it up. Okay. I was told that one person did not pick theirs up.
Great. Well, you got a great show. Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling 850 The Buzz. Okay. Yeah, sometimes you have to take care of the administration. Yeah, and today we're going to give away Paul Gilster's, is that the latest book?
That's the new one, right. Digital
that's
Literacy.
The new one.
That's the
Digital Literacy. What? Tell us a little bit about the book. What's it?
It's a more philosophical book than I have done before, sort of a look at the issues raised by the Internet, some of the things we need to look at when we deal with online content, such as how do you evaluate what you get? If you're doing a search, how do you decide what's information you can use and what might be bogus, content issues, things like that. And it's not so much a how-to book as a book that talks about those issues and what you can do about them.
A book to straighten you out, sort of like saying.
Straighten you out.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to read this, Anna.
Yeah, you really should, because I have, and I'm now straightened out.
Larry seems pretty darn straightened out to me.
But Paul's point in the book is particularly important, and it came up in my household this week, because I've got two teenage daughters.
Yeah.
One real and one exchange.
No, they're both real.
But they're using the Internet more and more to research topics for homework.
Yeah.
The issues of how do you decide what to use and what not to use come down. How do you sort through material? Very, very important. And I found many of the points that Paul raised useful in helping them out.
Well, that's good.
And I think people will find the book terrific.
You know, you've seen this last week. We had a classic case. This Matt Drudge business. Have you been following this guy, Matt Drudge?
Right.
You know, Matt Drudge has an online newsletter. Here's a guy who, you know, a year ago was selling T-shirts in Hollywood. This is what he did. Now he's an internationally known pundit. He's got this online newsletter, The Drudge Report, running on AOL, and it's got his own website, too. And, I don't know when this was, but not too long ago, Matt put into print an attack or a statement about the presidential advisor, Sidney Blumenthal, and said that Blumenthal, who had just taken his job, was, in fact, a wife beater. And this went out over the, you know, the net. Blumenthal was in his first day of work in the White House, and somebody brought him a printout of this. And as far as we know, he is not a wife beater, and naturally saw red about it, contacted Drudge and asked what was going on, and Drudge said, well, you know, I've got these sources, the court records. And so Blumenthal's lawyer said, well, let's see those records, because we don't have anything about that. And Drudge said, well, you know, I can't put my hands on them right now. I don't know where they are. So suddenly this whole issue again of, you know, can you trust it if it shows up on your screen? And it, a lot of people do make the assumption they can. Not always a good one.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was always impressed by, surprised at. Paul had, you know, a few articles where he mentioned me. And there were other papers that wrote about it.
Right.
And it seems like, what? So if they're right, suddenly people, whatever you say, people go for
it. If it's in print, look, if it's in print, they believe it.
Don't believe everything that's there.
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
Even if, I'm not saying that what was written is wrong, but not everything I say is right. Don't go out and just, you know, follow it. And a lot of people follow it, just like, you know, it was there. It was in the paper.
Yeah.
What's the joke? You did everything you read in the paper, you know. You're listening to The Buzz, 860-0850, The Buzz, and we're here with Paul Gilster, writer at the News and Observer computer column and the freelance technology writer, and of course with us is Larry Dial. And the lines are open. Just call in with any comment or question, and what I want to hear from you is, how many of you got in front of your PC and turned them on only to get a chilling error message that your computer crashed? Let us know what you did about it.
He keeps saying that. It makes chills run up my spine.
I mean, it happened to be last night, you know. I mean, last night it happened.
Let's see. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Okay, I'm biting.
You're biting. Bite. Really then, Larry?
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Okay. The computer crashed because my husband wanted to make it go faster.
Uh-huh.
And he lost my address book from Microsoft Exchange. And I'm begging any of your listeners who might know how to recover that to call in and help us.
I guess she doesn't know that it's all fixed yet.
Did I let that work?
What, is it really broken?
My Microsoft address book is gone.
No, it's not gone. You're panicking. Yeah.
It's tiny for the fjords. It's not gone.
We can find it.
It's all over the place, and really what you need to have it put into one standard address book that can be moved from one program to another. Obviously, from what I heard, it's in a cryptic state, kind of, when it's in the Microsoft address book and in all the other ones, and you need it in one. And it don't. Can I go ahead and say, don't worry about it. It'll be done.
Yeah.
This weekend, so I can finish my work.
Now she's pushing. I don't know. Hey, I'm not touching this now. This
is for Larry.
I'm trying not to touch it.
I think I'm probably the only woman that listens to this show, which is another problem in promotion that I think The Buzz needs to take care of.
No, I know my wife is listening.
Yeah, I know. There's quite a few women out there who are listening that I know of.
Okay, well, I'd like to say on behalf of all women whose husbands mess with the computer, even when they're told not to, I'd like to say that they should really leave it alone.
Yeah,
don't. Good point.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, Deidre, goodbye.
this is a very good piece of advice.
Well, this is your advice all the time. I
this
know.
Is my advice all the time.
Leave
Let's
it alone.
Not get into this case particularly.
No,
Let's
in general.
Not get into it, Larry.
So I expect you over here, Amnon, to find my address book. Thank you so much.
I will find the address book. It's probably under the couch cushion or somewhere. You know, it slipped somewhere.
A computer gremlin.
By the way, I'm fascinated by Mr. Gilster's discussion because just because the information is out there doesn't mean that it's good. Just like the way that children learn math isn't better because it's on the computer. It's the same information. It also can be found in a book. I think that people think that everything that's on the computer is better.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
A priori.
It's interesting. It seems to be some sort of fixation with the idea of a screen and this and printed information or online information as mm-hmm. being somehow authoritative. And I don't know quite where we get this, but maybe it's from the history of the net as being formally a government place and a research place.
And educational.
So, yeah. And so we make the assumption, well, here it's on computer. Mm-hmm. There's a certain authority that attaches to that. Of course, nowadays, anybody can get on the web. And,
right, right.
And there's a huge variation in quality, everything from New York Times and so on down to, you know, the guy next door who's put up what his dog ate for breakfast on the web. And you can't tell how authoritative something is unless you really research it.
But there's still a very big difference, and I'd like you to speak to this, about in class and socioeconomic levels as to who has access to this.
Oh, amen to that. Yeah, in fact, I brought some stuff, if I can find what I have on there. You know, it is fascinating to look at just how this Internet of ours has gotten spread around the globe. You talk about class or economic distinctions and so on. Somebody's ringing us.
No, I guess somebody got hung up.
Well, go ahead. Well, anyway, you know, if you start looking around, you find out that we have 171 countries on the net right now as of about a week ago when I did this last research. And 195 of them that can at least do email along with net stuff. But 98% of the computers that are out there are located in North America, Western Europe, or Japan and Australia. I mean, that's at least 2% for the rest of the globe.
It's amazing.
So tremendous inequality in terms of who can use the tool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, it makes sense. The developing countries where a lot of the research was would be the first. But now we have this big task of figuring out where do we go. I mean, how do we spread this out into the rest of the world? And in our own country, you know, how do we get it into schools in poor neighborhoods? How do we get it into rural areas that it's not now? And what sort of economic incentives do we use? This is a big issue that is going to take a lot of work in the next few years.
Yeah, and as the caller said, the economics of it are still prohibitive, no matter how hard they've worked.
Oh, yeah.
A good box still is $1,000.
Yeah. Well, let me give you one good bit of news, though, here, Larry.
Oh, good.
Let me give you an example of something that I ran across just the other day. In Rome, there's an organization, International Fund for Agricultural Development is the name of this thing. They have linked up 500,000, half a million households throughout Latin America, Central America, South America. We're talking about 3,600 separate towns and villages, most of them small. And the idea is to go out to the farmers, the small farmers, and to figure out ways to help them market their products. Now, how are they doing this? Well, obviously, if you go to 500,000 farmers and you say, you need a Pentium box for $2,000, you know, these people are not going to be looking at you with any favor. So the idea was, what these people did was to set up a facilitating operation. They have 5,000 volunteers. These guys don't worry about hardware. They go out into the community, down all through these rural areas, and they show what you can do with the technology, and then they get into local development projects to help these people figure out what they really need in terms of technology and where they can fund it, how they can do it. Instead of throwing computers at them, mm-hmm. they're trying to show them models of how it's done and then help from the economic standpoint a local town, small town, maybe raise enough to get one online connection that they can then all use together,
mm-hmm.
something like this. It's much more inexpensive, and it's much more practical. So far, very good results, 500,000 people.
That's terrific.
Very nice.
That's an excellent approach.
Yeah, it's a neat thing. And you have guys in the Amazon Delta, you know, people who are totally out of reach of normal communications, who are now suddenly on discussion groups talking about how they sell their products. This is exciting stuff.
And you're tuned to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz, and our number is 860-0850. I was having a thought yesterday before when we were talking about the fact that if it's there in print, people will believe it. What do you think would happen if the three of us went today on our web pages and created the document and said that 2 + 2 = 5. Do you think somebody will follow it and actually take it to?
I know some people at some universities here would work out a way that that was probably true.
Actually, I think it is, isn't it? In certain space-time continuums.
Yeah, right. If we play with it with quantum dynamics, we can make a way to make it happen. Right?
Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that. Somebody may, now that we're on the radio, somebody may even believe it more.
They can't see us, so. The thought that I had when Paul mentioned the authority of the visual screen, it reminded me of the movie culture that we're in, that many people look and see things on television and movies and believe them to be true.
Oh, yeah.
And,
look at Oliver Stone.
Yeah. Did I going to say Oliver Stone?
Yeah.
All these things. I remember many, many years ago, one of my favorite old movies, Mel Brooks' movie, The Producers, he has a wonderful line where he has Gene Wilder as a character saying, "I want everything I ever saw in the movies." And that seemed to me to be the quintessential statement of what Hollywood believes they can do to people, and they do.
Isn't that fascinating? It's the screen we're looking
at. Right, right, and that's exactly what I thought of.
Right, and an apparent reality that we're looking at, you know, to someone who doesn't know history and goes in there and watches JFK, say, oh, hey, you know, I didn't know all this, seems very true. Until you start looking at the facts and doing a little digging and fact-checking.
Yeah, and a disturbing thing about the web these days is, in my opinion, the technology has made all the visuals very impressive.
Oh, yeah. And cheap, too.
And cheap.
Easy to do.
The content hasn't changed. That's the biggest problem.
That's the thing. If you turn off the graphics, you're still looking at the same text.
You think it's not being taken advantage of, the fact that, you know, if it's printed and it's on the Internet, it must be real? Before we go commercial, let me read you something from EduPage. Online credit card scams. So because of its huge membership that includes a large number of online neophytes, America Online has served as an attractive target for criminals trying to commit credit card fraud. And AOL subscribers have received several messages in recent months aimed at stealing their credit card number. In a recent message titled "Important AOL Information" and falsely identifying itself as coming from AOL membership department, recipients of the message were asked to jump to a web page outside of America Online and provide their names and credit card information. And I'll bet you a lot of them did it.
Yeah, sure they did.
And you know, and this, you know, large number of online neophytes. I mean, America Online.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is like me coming to a customer of mine and say, you know, now that you paid me, I'd like you to go outside. There's a bulletin board, and I want you to put your credit card number out there.
Right.
How many you think will do that?
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Look at the telephone scams we get. I mean, you know, these are
amazing.
There are gullible people out there.
Yeah, and people are taking advantage of it. Absolutely. Okay, coming up next here on 850 The Buzz are your calls, so leave your dial right here. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850. And with us in the studio is Paul Gilster, writer in the News and Observer computer column. Paul writes the column, and Paul is also a freelance technology writer, writes books, writes articles. We have a book, Digital Literacy, we're going to give away later on. And also with us is Larry Dial.
Who's a freelance something.
Nah. Freelance what?
Right now, freelance in trouble.
Freelance husband at the moment. Deep trouble. You've got to get that book there.
The Windows address book. It's all Bill Gates' fault.
Yeah.
It is Bill
Gates'
fault.
Why didn't you sue him?
Oh, okay.
I hear he's got deep pockets.
Right, like I said, our number is 860-0850. You're listening to 850 The Buzz. I'm still waiting for you. There's got to be people out there who turned the computer on and heard a missing operating system or hard drive error.
Or just something weird that happened.
Something
when you turned
that kind of give
I'll,
you a
let
chill.
Let me give you one real quick since you don't have a call. My son's off at college the freshman year doing his first paper for school. And they had a computer in the room but no printer. So he writes the paper, puts it on floppy, takes it over to the computer lab. They got like 24 computers in there. puts it in one machine, it says, you know, non-standard disk. Puts it in another machine, non-standard disk.
Mm-mm.
Other kids start coming in with the same thing. They've got their own floppies. All of them are down. What are we dealing with here? Virus or something? I mean, this was very strange. And none of these guys could get their papers printed. What goes on here? That was one that was truly, truly difficult.
Well, were they Mac disk?
That's what I was going to say.
No, that was the first thing I thought of. I've done that before.
These are all, you know, straight PC, okay. Formatted everything, the whole
let
thing.
Could anybody print their stuff?
Nobody. Okay. Nobody could do it.
I don't know if you remember, Paul, there were some... it would be stupid to use this in this settings, but there are programs out there that the boss at the office can install on their computer. There was one locally that was, I can't remember, something lock. Anyway, when you install it on your machine, you have to have a diskette that was formatted on that machine in order to copy to or from.
Whoa. How about that? You think that could be it?
But this would be stupid to use it in this setting where you expect students to come in.
Yeah.
If nobody could read it, the only thing I can say is that something got the CMOS and they didn't know about 1.44 or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
This is strange.
Yeah, were all the disks provided by the school?
No, these are disks, you know, from
they brought home.
Yeah, they came. The kids that had computers came and they had some disks and stuff. And they all just hear, well, we'll go print it at the computer lab.
Right.
Nobody can print.
Let's see what this caller has to say.
Interesting.
Good morning, UNA 50 The Buzz.
Hello, Amnon.
Good morning.
I was going to tell you about a computer crash.
Let's hear it.
About the beginning of the year.
How about turning down the radio?
All right. It was about the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And turned on the computer and I had the old drive D failure. It was a little scuzzy 80 meg.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty old. But I listened to you. I had my backups.
Uh-huh.
And then I F-disked the wrong partition.
Oh!
Oh!
Ooh, that's the real gotcha. So, that hurts.
Yes, it does. So, yeah, I'm still recovering. Every once in a while I find a utility that I need, and I have to go download that thing again.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, believe it or not, when I get a computer in with two or three drives, I get like a shiver when I click format a certain drive.
Yeah, I have.
Am I doing the right one?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my problem is I have OS 2 in Windows, and I'm trying to line up my CD-ROM letters when I install software, because they go out, and if CD-ROM was installed on drive D, it always has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have partitions mixed up among disks so that my CD-ROM drive lines up. And I think that's what got me.
Yeah, oh well.
Yeah.
Good story.
All right.
Good story. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Bye-bye.
Interesting.
That one hurts.
Formatus interruptus or something like that.
Oh. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning, Amnon.
Good morning.
I'm enjoying your show as usual. After dragging my feet for a couple of years on upgrading to Windows 95 from 3.1.1, and now having gone through the process, I think I was probably correct. I should have drugged my feet longer. But I decided to do a fresh install,
mm-hmm.
and before I did that, before I formatted both of these SCSI hard disks, I made a complete backup with a Ditto.
Good.
Which is a fairly nice piece of software, but
mm-hmm.
it dawned on me that since I was making the backups under 3.1.1, I wondered when I then tried to restore under Windows 95 would I have a problem. So I called technical support. They said no problem at all. I go back to I format everything, and then I start restoring, and of course, instantaneously, I get a error message.
Of course.
So call technical support back again. Lo and behold, I happen to use QuickBooks on this machine,
mm-hmm.
and Ditto, for some reason, has named one of their important program folders with the same directory name as QuickBooks. There's a QBWIN.
Mm-hmm.
folder. So what had happened when I restored, when I installed QuickBooks and then I installed the Ditto system,
right.
they just meshed together.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, nothing would work. So it was a fairly easy problem to solve, and my blood pressure came back to normal eventually. But that was a, I wouldn't say a crash, but a serious problem. That
well, anything that when you start working, and at least you see you had a backup, so you could always put 3.1 back on and get all your data back.
Right.
But that 1 second there where that chill goes through and says, uh-oh, I lost everything. This is the one that we need to get that tech support person and wring their neck.
Okay.
You know,
well,
for that.
Yeah, well, the ditto, I guess it's iOmega, but
yeah.
Having paid $15 for the first call, they were very cordial on the second call and, you know, didn't get charged. You do get a number, but I did a fresh install. In other words, I did the formatting and then installed the programs over again,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure having done that I would do that again. It was advised that if you do it, then you avoid all the flotsam and jetsam that, you know, you've been accumulating for
mm-hmm.
several years. But I don't know, maybe there's no easy way to do it.
There is no easy way of doing it, but it's doable. It takes slow steps, but you can do it, and you can get one at a time in, make sure it works, go on, get another one in, make sure it works. Many of those, did all your programs run under 95 once you did it?
No. The second chapter in the story is that I've got such an elderly CD-ROM that it was behaving in a flaky fashion. And then after fussing around with this for 2.5 days, the C drive finally did crash deader than a doornail. So I finally, when I looked at the cost of replacing a SCSI and buying a new CD-ROM, I decided maybe it was time to finally come into the 20th century and get a Pentium.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So, but if you had any wonders about whether backups are worth it, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thanks again.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you for calling 850 The Buzz.
Thank you all. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You know, the key word there is flotsam and jetsam.
Oh,
all the junk that Windows 95 puts on your system and you have no idea where it is or what it is.
Yeah.
That's really the issue, and the incompatibility of everything because of all of that flotsam and jetsam.
Yeah. Okay, let's see who we have here. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Hey, I've got a computer question.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've got... I just recently installed OS 8 on my Mac. Now, don't kill me. But I've been having some problems transferring from a SideQuest drive to the hard drive,
mm-hmm.
and I keep calling tech support, and they keep referring me to the other people. You know, I call the people that made the drivers and the drives and the people that made the computer, and I call Apple, and they keep referring me to each other. So I was wondering if maybe you guys would know what's causing this.
Guys, let's go have a cup of coffee, and the guy is going to stay on the phone.
You're cool.
No, I don't use a Mac.
I used one intermittently. But now, describe the problem again.
Well, I don't know that it. I don't think it would be Mac specific, but
mm-hmm.
here's my problem. I've got a SCSI SideQuest 135 drive external.
Okay.
When I transfer files that are, let's see, I guess there's a limited size, like the size range is around 500K that I can transfer back and forth with no problem.
Right.
But going from the hard drive to the SideQuest, no problems. Going from the SideQuest to the hard drive, downloading or transferring files that direction, I get the system hangs up.
Well, I'm stumped on that one, Em.
That's in other words, you can copy from the computer to the SideQuest, but you cannot copy from the SideQuest to the computer.
Right. And when I can open programs on the SideQuest and do like a save as to the hard drive, that doesn't have a problem. And when I can uncompress a large file from the SideQuest to the hard drive, no problem. But it's just when I'm actually doing a transfer of files, copy from A to B, or from D to C, if you want to go from PC.
Okay.
It has.
Do you have the latest drivers for the SideQuest?
Yeah, I have the latest drivers on the hard drive. The latest drivers on the SideQuest.
You
I have the same drivers on the SideQuest as the hard drive.
Okay. Did you have problem with 7.5 or whatever?
Not that I recall. I don't remember having any problems under 7.5.5.
Sounds like a problem, don't you think?
Wow,
you've got some driver problems here that they have not identified.
Yeah, some in OSA, because that's the only variable.
Yeah, I think so.
It has to be Apple.
I would actually call Apple.
I've done that. I called Apple, and they said to call the makers of my hard drive because it's a third-party hard drive. So I called the people that made the drivers for it, and they said, okay, here's, you know, give us $50, we'll give you the latest upgrade. So I got the latest upgrade for the drivers. I got the download of the latest drivers for the SideQuest drive from their site. I've got, let's see, and then I called, because I still had the problem, and then I called Power Computing, because I own a Power Computing Mac clone. They said it wasn't a problem with their computer, so they said to call Apple, and I've already called them, so I called the people that made SideQuest drive, and I've called all over the place.
Okay, let me give you an advice. When you call Power Computing or whatever, or SideQuest, don't ask them what is the problem, because right away they get on the defensive. What you need to find out, and in reality, what you want to find out, if anybody reported to them that when they upgraded to the newer operating system, they had a problem running this SideQuest with this computer and doing what you're trying to do.
Oh, I've asked them that too, and they said, and everybody stopped. They said, well, you know, there used to be a problem with, you know, this SCSI ID or that, you know, or that driver, but you don't have those. And they have no idea what it is. And every time I describe the problem, I ask them if it's something they've seen before, if there's a solution to it. But
I think Larry wants to say something.
What about user groups or news groups out there?
I've tried that too. Tried to the Mac user groups, Mac news groups, and I've seen all these things like, oh, OS 8 destroyed my hard drive, but that was because they did stupid stuff, and all these problems with OS 8. But I've never seen anyone describing the same problems that I have.
I've put up my
symptom list. I've never gotten a good response.
Let me ask you this: do you have a friend with a Mac and System 8?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you take your SideQuest over there and put it on his machine and try and see if you can do what you cannot do on your computer? And this way, at least you'll eliminate
the hardware problem.
No, not the hardware. One part of the hardware, because you can eliminate the SideQuest. If the SideQuest works with another one, the hardware is okay on the SideQuest. It sure sounds like it is a driver problem, and it may take some time before it surfaces and other people will come forward and say, yeah, we have the same problem. All I can say is, if there's anybody out there who's listening that heard about anything like that, please give us a call here at The Buzz, 860-0850, and let's help that fella. I mean, this can be very, very frustrating.
Right.
I know, but I wish I could give you an answer that will take care of your problem.
You know, and a lot of this, I think, comes from a new OS.
Yeah,
dealing with Mac OS 8.
So, yeah.
And it happens so often that the drivers that are initially produced for that operating system work most of the time, but they haven't really got them debugged yet. And I think that's what this sounds like to me. And I suspect they're going to have to be producing some new drivers, because they're going to be getting other complaints like this, most likely. I would assume so.
And especially when the newest revision of OS 8 comes out in, I think, December, that's going to change the file system. So I think everything's going to have to get new drivers.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
Oh, well.
Good luck.
Thanks anyway.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, what was really disturbing about that phone call was the way he got bounced around from...
They get on the defensive. They think you are blaming him for something.
Well, they pass it to the next guy online to get it off the back. Yeah.
Or they read from cards. Remember, one of the great stories about help desk are that you get hold of people. In fact, I called, you know the story I told you. I called Microsoft Knowledge Base, technical support, one time on a question, and they read me back something that I wrote for them. and I'm going, this doesn't help.
And you know what happens to the higher-ups?
You never hear from them.
No. When you say, well, let me transfer you to my supervisor, the supervisor just has a longer Rolodex or something.
That's probably the case.
Go through all those cards.
But it's a very frustrating part on all levels. For the novice computer user, you can get some help, but the moment you get anything that's at all difficult, you have a very hard time getting answers.
Yeah, that's really true.
Okay, coming up next here on 850 The Buzz are your calls. Leave your dial right here. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Computers 97 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850. With us in the studio is Paul Gilster, writer of the News and Observer computer column and a freelance technology writer. And Larry Dial is here with us, sitting there kind of... What am I going to do today? How am I going to get out of this jam? Let's see who we got online. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning. It's the Big Kahuna.
Good morning, Big Kahuna.
The Kahuna's here. All right.
The Big Meshuggah, right?
The Big Meshuggah, right.
Somebody wanted you to change it to the Big Meshuggah?
That's not bad. I like that. The Meshuggah Kahuna.
The Meshuggah Kahuna.
We being, okay. Well, how's everybody doing today?
Good morning.
Good morning. You sound like you're asleep, too.
Really?
Well, you know what this week started, don't you?
School? Labor Day?
That's right.
All right.
That's good. 2 points. So, the Big Kahuna said, let's see what's on the net for all those school kids and their parents. And check out the following wonderful, interesting links. Lycos.com. Where they compiled a great set of links aptly named the Back to School Survival Guide. You can check out and find information on sites such as Monster Mash Math. Could be Monster Mash.
Well, it could be Monster Mash.
I remember Monster Mash.
If you're studying distilling,
the western part of North Carolina is listening.
Find information at the free Internet Encyclopedia Micro Reference Center. Get shocked and information at the Electric Library. Check out Kids Web, a digital library for school kids, and the Dartmouth Academic Skill Center, among many others. Now, if you're doing one of those terrible research papers, which you're probably going to have to do sometime soon, check out researchpaper.com. They got great tips on getting started on your upcoming research paper. It's the web's largest collection of topics, ideas, and assistance for school-related research products.
Terrific.
They've got the Idea Directory, the Writing Center. You can join researchpaper.com, and they'll show you how to send $125 and have somebody write the paper for you.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
I didn't check it out, but I think they do that. Isn't the Internet wonderful? Hey, if there's a yellow train with 108 passengers heading due west at 50 miles per hour, no. And everyone aboard is named Skip or Dana, and had meatloaf for lunch, how many ice cream cones does it take to build a doghouse? I don't know, but you can find the answer at CliffsNotes.com.
All right.
Ultimate school kids helper. That's right, CliffsNotes.com.
You're talking about a literacy level in this country.
That's right.
And then, if you want to know where to get all these wonderful back-to-school supplies, check out Lycos link, their back-to-school survival guide, where to get it site, where you can check out companies such as Crayola, Filofax, Pyramid School Products, Texas Instruments, Uni Rollerball Pens, and Schoolhouse Publications. So you can find out where to get all this good stuff. And if you're a college kid, they've got the College Shopping Network. That's right. You can go on there, and you don't have to ride your bike, put gas in your car, or jump on the bus to shop anymore. Just sit back and order from them, probably at very inflated prices.
With Daddy's credit card.
That's right. Anyway, now, if you're done with college and you just want to see the cleanest bathroom in Britain, that's right, UK's cleanest loo, you can check out Loos of the Loo, where you will see Irene Olesky. That's her name. She's the chief attendant of Britain's cleanest restroom.
Uh-huh. Well, that's got to be worth seeing, Kahuna.
Actually, not really. But it was an interesting link that would get a laugh.
You're all right.
And guess what site it's at? It's at theplumber.com. Honey, what do these people sit around and figure, what kind of crap can I put on the Internet?
Oh, no.
You're into games, if you're into games and you want to check out all these new hot PC games and get the demos, take a look at Demoland. They've got an assortment, everything from today's pick to what's new, a favorites list, and the big list, which gives you a whole list of new game demos. I tried to print it out, but for some reason they don't want to print anything out but their logo, so I can't tell you what games are there. But it looked good. You want to sound off? Are you mad? Are you angry? Hello?
No.
All right. The Angry Internet Man site.
What do? You throw...
Don't throw anything at the screen.
What is it, a malicious site?
No, it's just this angry guy who as all these different topics you can vent on, like talk show hosts. I didn't make it up. I'm just telling you, auto mechanics, infomercials, professional athletes, and you can sound off and see how other people sounded off. And if you live around this town, you need to go to this site every so often.
I agree.
That's a good idea.
Now, do you paint your nails?
Of course.
Good. Well, then you need to visit E-Nails.
E-Nails.
More crap on the net. That's right. The Gap. Gap Squares have put together a site called E-Nails. They're showing off their half-ounce bottles of fingernail polish at $3.95. How self-serving. But they put together a Shockwave hand, and you can choose from the palette of fingernail colors and actually paint the fingernails on the hand. Now, you really got to need to have a life to go do that.
It's just two teenage daughters.
They
They'll
call
do
it
a
virtual manicure.
A virtual manicure.
That's right. Now, if you really like listening to you two,
no,
and you guys finish, guess what's going on today?
It's us three, by the way.
At three? You're on till three?
No. Oh, no. You wanted 2 hours. I got forever.
It's the Pat and Mike World Wide Web radio show.
Oh, that's right. Pat Mellon.
You've heard of these guys?
I thought. Wasn't Pat Mellon's got something on?
It's just Pat and Mike. Hey, it's party time with those madmen on the internet, Pat and Mike. That's right, boys and girls. It's Labor Day weekend, so the kings of all cyberspace, after you guys, Pat and Mike have decided this week's show on air. It's a free-for-all, and they're giving away prizes.
I paint my nails. I can't be a king.
Well, that's right.
That's
so
right.
It says,
queen.
Don't be hellacious, twit. Call in and have some fun. Call 1-800-745-6655.
Uh-oh.
And that's at AudioNet, the Pat and Mike Worldwide Web Show. Now, this site's really something. You know, everybody's against smoking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Except the big kahuna. Everybody's against. This one is put together for kids. It's how to keep kids off alcohol. But listen to this site. It says the ABCs of smoking. Tobacco is probably the most dangerous substance commonly consumed by humans, and inhaling its burned byproducts is a doubly dangerous form of consumption. The letters of the alphabet, the ABCs, are the building blocks of language and communication. When it comes to smoking, these building blocks spell one word, death. How do you get ABC and spell death?
Another universe.
The ABC store.
This guy's trying to help people, but his copy is terrible.
Yeah. He's not alone in that on the net, is he?
He says, you may wonder if cigarettes are so bad, why people keep smoking them. The answer is they're addictive. Nicotine is a drug in all tobacco products that hooks its users. It's as powerful as any of the strongest illegal drugs like heroin or cocaine. It grabs slowly and keeps a death grip on your user, often to the day he or she dies. I mean, what drama. The cigarettes do kill many smokers. Hundreds of thousands of people each year. He scares the crap out of kids.
That's good.
Good.
That's good.
Do you feel it kind of having a grip on you down there?
No, I'm getting another cup of coffee and another cigarette.
Kahuna.
Anyway.
Kahuna lights up another Lucky Strike and settles back in his chair.
I'm developing a special brand of internet cigarette.
It's a virtual smoke.
Virtual cigarette.
It's virtual cigarette, that's right. You pipe smoke out of the monitor and you think you're smoking.
Just don't leave stains on the monitor, okay?
Don't leave stains, that's right. Oh, okay, we'll move along right from there. I think Kahuna's done enough damage this morning. So check out these links and keep listening to Pat and Mike. Or,
whoever we are.
Who are you guys?
I don't know. We're trying to figure that out.
But we should put this on the web. Why doesn't this show go on the web?
Oh, it does.
Too?
It does.
Well, are you already out there?
Not right now. Not live. They don't want to do it live. But this afternoon it will be there.
But it needs to be live. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be live.
That's too.
Right.
Streaming audio is what you
want.
Screaming audio. Maybe.
Screaming, yeah.
You're a good man, Big K.
You guys have an hour and a half left.
Wait a second, Kahuna. I wanted to give you here a piece of advice. You said you were trying to print something and nothing but the logo came out.
That's right.
Was this page by a chance black background?
It might have been.
Yeah, that happens many times. I keep telling people that Hannah was playing on the internet and she came across this something about witches. And it was black. And she said, Dad, they will not let you. I mean, they're real witches. It will not print out. And what happens is, if you look at the page, it's black background and white letters. When you the background never gets printed, correct?
Right.
You never get the background printed.
That's right.
The letters are white. So when you're printing it, this is really what happens. When you're printing it, it will not come out. What you need to do in this case, everybody out there, if you're trying to print something like that, go into your options and change your colors from the defaults to your own and make it white background, black letters, and then print it and everything will work.
Well, I think that you're right. That generally is the case, but yeah. The site that Hannah happened to be at, they really were witches.
Okay.
Well, that's different, but we can't do anything about that.
But I appreciate the tip there.
Okay, Michaelina, thanks for calling 850.
Thanks a lot. You have a good week surfing.
Yeah. You do the same.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's take this real quick. Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
I have a question about a periodic problem I've been having with a monitor changing colors by itself.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, good.
that's the connector on the back of the computer or on the back of the monitor. The cable breaks internally. It's an easy answer, but it's a very difficult repair.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Let me tell you what my experience is.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah, sure.
Can you hold? I mean, we need to go to a commercial. Can you hold and we'll get you right when we come back after the commercial? It'll take about 5 minutes. You can either call back or I can put you on hold.
I'll be on hold.
Okay,
just put me on hold. Thanks.
Sure. Okay, yeah, we need to go on another.
It doesn't work all the time, boss.
Well,
program's just
coming up next on 850 The Buzz. Are your calls, so leave your dial right here on 850 The Buzz.